Learning your mate while in relationships is part of the assignment. It really makes no sense to go through everything together and not have learned anything during your time with them. The beauty of relationships is gaining valuable knowledge about your mate as you learn to deal with each other. You can always tell when two people are in sync. At some point, they begin finishing each other's sentences. The quality in their presence is a key factor in generating the love that will be displayed when you both are happy together. The Relationship Therapy Podcast wants you to have that type of relationship.
You've tuned into the Relationship Therapy Podcast with Tony Miller Sr., a podcast designed for couples who are married, couples who are dating, and have marriage in their future. We will guide you to the principles that will make your relationship better. Stick around. You might just learn something that will help your relationship last longer, grow stronger, and become healthier. Now, here's your host, Tony Miller Sr.
Hello, everybody. This is your host, Tony Miller Sr., and welcome to another episode of the Relationship Therapy Podcast. We are getting ready to go right into part two of my conversation with Maurice and Monica Kofer. If you're just tuning in and you did not get a chance to listen to last week's episode, I would advise you to go back and listen to that and then catch back up with us in part two. So let's go right in so that we can get to the best part of this conversation. You don't want to miss any of it. Each couple has their own dynamic.
Right, exactly.
This word I like to use is flow. And at the time that y'all have been married, I bet guarantee you that you can understand when your flow is off.
Yeah.
You
know, something's wrong. Your flow might be off, and you got to get that flow back. You know,
right?
So that's good. Well, let me ask you this question: what would you say is the toughest adjustment? I know it's been some years, but what was the toughest adjustment being married, besides the communication? What was the toughest adjustment?
It was a parent. Being a parent.
Okay.
Now you got two other lives that you got to care for, and at the same time, still be married.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Monica?
I'm gonna tell you what I think. I think it changes over the years now. I think when you do have children, of course, that's a major adjustment because your whole life changes. It's like the children run the house for a while because they're little and they depend on you so much that a lot of what you have to do, your decisions have to be made based on them. But as you get, older in your relationship and you grow together and, you know, like just say when you get to the emptiness time, you know, when they leave, things change. So those you asked about the toughest thing.
The toughest adjustments.
Some of those adjustments are just simply knowing where we are now. Like, okay, where are we now? You know, this is what we used to do. Now, one of them, since we are older, was money, the way we did money. I think that's important. I think people don't understand, even in premarital counseling, that even discussing money issues beforehand, that's very important. You know, they want to get into how close we are in relationship and, you know, sex and different things like that. But money is major because money can make or break a relationship. So I found that, and there are things that he taught me and that I taught him. But he taught me a lot about money, you know, because I think that's how he was raised. His father taught him. So because I was a female living in a female home, we weren't taught the things that they were taught. They were taught more responsibility when it came to money.
They were privileged. I just got the silver spoon out of my mouth last week.
I'm saying the honest truth, though, really. He taught me something that I did. You know, people look and they go, well, what, you know, what did he teach? I mean, you work, he worked, whatever. And we did that. But, you know, like saving money, you know, like putting this aside, you know, he taught the kids that. But he taught me that as well. It's like, oh, I do. I'm supposed to do that. You know, and you have to accept it, because here's the thing with some ladies, especially when they've had the household and they've run the household before they get married, prior to marriage. And they feel like, well, I know what I'm doing and this is my system and blah, blah, blah. But when you get with your husband, you all have to agree on what exactly you're right. doing. Right. And that can cause, and if you don't come to an agreement on major issues, there's a problem. So yeah. we did that from the beginning. And he taught me things about paying bills, because when we got married, I didn't come into a relationship with bills. I mean, I came from my mother's house, so I didn't know about that. And he taught me some things, and some of it I got right away, and some of it I didn't. It was a trial and error. But when I got it, I got it. And I'm like, oh, now I understand what he was saying. I understand what he's saying now.
And the reason why I said the adjustment for me was the kids, because that's all that. It's financial also.
Yeah.
Now what was for me and her, I got to rearrange the finance, because we've got to make sure they have.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That's right. That's good.
We had to make sacrifices.
Right. We had to make sure we put ourselves on the back burner to make sure they would have the necessities, and all that took, nobody didn't give it to, that took finance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we were squanderers, then then our children would have lacked.
Yeah,
we didn't squander our money.
Yeah,
you know, because I stayed on my job 44 years.
Yeah,
right. That's right. That's good. That's good. Yeah, I see some of her silver spoon coming out when she says she came into the marriage with no bills. I see.
I told you she had one. No. Bought her a car.
I did.
I didn't say I won't buy you now, but I put the down payment for you.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was because we were so young. When we got married, I just graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't have, I had part-time jobs and things like that, but I wasn't on my job. And he was. So he was, he had that experience that I did not have, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in these 44 years, are there any mistakes that you made, and this is for both of you, in your past,
mm-hmm.
that you wish you could have changed?
I wish I could have been more forward, more forthcoming with my conversation, with my communication with her. Okay. That's what I wish.
Yeah.
Because I definitely believe at some time when I held it up, if I would have came out, the situation may have been much smoother than it was. Pastor Miller, so that's what it was.
I think if I had to do it over, even though it was a learning experience, I think I did it, but then I learned out of it, and that was speaking, just letting it go, you know, saying it, because women have a tendency to do that. I wish I hadn't done that in the past like I did it, okay? I've learned, you have to learn when to speak and when to not speak, when to be quiet, when to say, okay, you know what? I'm praying about that. I'm not saying a word. I'm letting God speak to him. Because when you just let everything rip, you know, everything come out your mouth, whatever come out, that can be hurtful, and not just for the immediate time, but for the long run in your marriage. So, you know, you have to be real careful about being sharp-tongued, you know, saying just stuff and hurting people's feelings. If I could, you know, there are times when, you know, you want to take things back, but you can't. Once the word is out, it's gone. You know, you can't pull it back. But then, you know, I pray for God to give me other chances, because he's a God of more than a second chance, any whatever chance you need. So I've said, well, Lord, give me a chance to make this right or do this better. How can I say this better? And I've heard people say you have to understand people's love language, and you have to understand people's, you know, how they're talking, what makes them tick, so to speak, you know, what is it that makes him smile? You know, what does he really like? And then he knows that about me too. But that takes time.
It does.
I think people think that they know, you know, and like I said, over a period of time, that thing changes. It really does. It changes. But what we do, we've changed with that. We've grown. The Lord has grown us together. And where we are now, we went through a lot of, you know, different things, but I think they were beneficial. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if I hadn't gone through some of that, well, I wouldn't know it was something that I had to learn.
And it's, you and
know,
it's,
I wouldn't have known that.
It's a strengthening mechanism.
Exactly.
Also. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's a strengthening mechanism.
I truly believe as Christians, some of our dilemmas that we go through or issues or problems are actually learning opportunities for us.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
They're learning opportunities, because if we don't learn them, I think we're going to repeat them.
Repeat them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
But the whole foundation, Pastor Miller, is built off of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whole foundation, the whole 44 years is, it's God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And I won't take any credit for any of this. He sent me the woman, the desire of my heart.
Right.
See, he sent her to me.
I didn't know until later. He told me that he prayed. Did you tell me you prayed?
Yeah.
See, we didn't do that back then. You know, we just learned.
You know the scripture that Tony did say, he that findeth the wife, follow the good thing and obtain favor with God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't that strong in the Lord at 20, but I said those things to him when I was laying on the bed at home. I said, send me a woman who I could love and who could love me for who I am.
Right. And yeah. I didn't know any of that, you know. I found out later.
That's what
I
asked.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
My daddy asked me one question. When I asked him, I told him, "Dad, I'm ready to get married." Right? He said, "Okay, I got one question," because he knew her dad. They knew their family.
Yeah,
they went to school together. He asked me one question. He said, "Do you love her?" That's what my daddy asked me. I told him, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, then, because you the one got to live with her."
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he told
me. Amen. That's right. All right. I understand that you have a daughter who just got married on November the 26th, which I'll never forget their anniversary, because it just happens to line up with Valerie and I's anniversary, same day. But when she got married, or right before she got married, what advice did you both give her?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, we talked then, and we still talk, even since they've been married, about different things. One thing I did say, I think it's important to understand that you're in a give-take relationship. It's give and take. You have to understand it's not all what you want. It's not all about what he wants. It's about what you all want together. And then sometimes you have to do things that you're not used to doing, and vice versa. And I mean, like, if, you know, he likes, I'm just saying, if a person, it's just an example, like if you like going to a sports arena, to an event, but you like going to the movies, I mean, you all have to talk about it and decide and go, you know, you have to, it has to be for both of you. Now you're a couple, not just individuals. So that's what I want her to understand, because, you know, she's been that single woman for many years. She's run her own household because her father taught her how to do that. But then he did the same thing. So you're coming together. But one thing I admire about them, and I say they're older getting married as a couple than we were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they've experienced things. They know already what they like, some of their likes, their dislikes, you know, things that they don't want to tolerate again. They don't go through again because they've experienced, they've had those experiences. So I try to remind her of those kinds of things. And go ahead.
And we tried to set the example for them over the years, so they would see, you know, how marriage should look like.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to set the example before them, in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, so they would have an idea, you know, and one of the highest compliments they paid me, they told me when they get married, they want a man like my daddy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think you and I have had that conversation too.
Yeah,
but your daughter, okay?
Yeah, my daughter shared with me that, and this is a few years ago. She shared with me, said, "Daddy, you messed it up," and I said, "Oh, messed what up?" So these guys, I see how you treat mama, and they ain't treat me like that. I don't want it. That's a compliment.
Yes, it is. That's a high one.
Yeah.
You know, every child looks at their parents for different reasons.
Right.
Now, your two daughters looked at you Maurice, because they could learn how they're supposed to be treated.
You're right.
Exactly.
You're right.
But then right. also, Monica, they looked at you and how you received the treatment, but also mm-hmm. how you treated him as a woman.
All right, Miller.
That's right.
All right.
So that's important. So if you grow up in a household where there is a single parent, and I'm not saying you cannot still come out and have a great marriage, but I believe right. a lot of people have a head start if they grow up in a household where the marriage was healthy.
Yeah.
And they were able to witness what a husband and mm-hmm. a father supposed to do and what a wife and a mother supposed to
all
do.
All right.
That's true. All that's right. good.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And,
amen.
And tell you something else too. Now I don't want to just keep talking about mistakes, but I do believe it's important that they see not just the good side, but the bad side of life as well, because otherwise they will think that, you know, sometimes people, I say girls especially, think that they're supposed to live happily ever after. But you got to be real. You know, it's not always that.
There's going to be some problems.
Some problems, some ups and downs. You have to understand that that's natural. It's normal. You know, that's a part of life and it's part of a relationship, because it's two of you now. Like I said, you know, the two become one. And that's another thing, too. You know, as you continue to grow in God and in your relationship, you do become one. But you've got to get to that point. And so, you know, there are things that they're not used to. I say, it's a young relationship, so they're not necessarily used to each other yet, but they're doing really pretty good.
Yeah.
They're doing pretty good. Yeah.
All right. So as we get ready to close this, what do you both see as the secret sauce for these 44 years? What's the secret to your longevity of marriage?
Go ahead, babe. I'll
okay, yeah, I want to say, you know, we want to say God, but we also want to say love. I believe that you can have God in your life and not love each other, then that you're not supposed to be together, in my mm-hmm. opinion. Mm-hmm. But you have to have love for each other, but then allow God to cultivate that,
exactly.
you know, in your relationship. There are things that we may do now that we didn't do before. You know, we're closer, just the two of us here, but at the same time, I think at this point in our lives, we're closer for many reasons. Now, you have to make it that. You have to cultivate that. You can't just, like you said, it's work. Mm-hmm. I'm using the word cultivate, same thing. You've got to work at it. You know, it's nothing wrong with patting them on the back. You know, it's nothing wrong. I'm gonna kiss his forehead, you know. We can just be looking at TV. I'm gonna kiss his forehead. He's gonna do that. You know, he'll just hug me. You know, he'll do something. You know, just out of the clip, you've got to do something to keep it going. It's still your choice. I hear people talking about how they grow apart, and it's just that, you know, you don't try to nurture, you stop the nurturing part of your marriage. You cannot do that. As you get older, you probably need more of that, because you find out that you lean on each other. You know, now we walk up the steps, and he'll walk up the steps saying, oh, and then I'm walking up the steps saying, oh, and it's okay. You know what? We're not as young as we used to be. We realize that, and we depend on each other. But that comes from the love, I think, because a lot of people, you know, I got sick during our relationship at some point, and I got really sick. I was real sick. And he was right there with me. That was that love again.
Yeah.
But it's also God allowed him to stay there with me. I mean, you know, he could love me, but then he could, you know, he could say, well, I love you, but I'm not used to this. I don't want to be here for that. But he stuck it out. And so we know what that's like. And we've had to be there for each other. You know, he's been, you know, had some times and I've had some times. But the love has endured the time. But it's been God who has helped us to get through those times, you know. And last thing I want to say about this, and I'm going to stop talking, but I have to say, I reached a point when we were talking about communication and different things that were really, really hard. And I remember praying a prayer and I said, God, I need you to repair, you know, the things that I've messed up, or the errors that have been made. You know, I need you to repair it. Well, then I found out he started fixing and working on me, not on him mm-hmm. and not on us, but on me. And as God started working on me, you know, then we start coming together.
And I'll piggyback on that. The same thing I pray too, because people in sometime in marriage, the man mostly don't think he need fixing.
Yeah.
Right.
He don't think he need to be fixed from within. Yeah. He think the hard macho is the way to go. No. Yeah. We need to be rebuilt. Yeah. Just like an engine. You put the pistons in the box, put all, just get a total rebuilt.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That is key.
And those are the things that when he rebuild you,
yeah,
then you're going forward with a whole different mindset, yeah, and mentality.
Yeah, and different outlook.
Exactly.
Yeah. The outlook is different.
Because I could not love her if I didn't love God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't. It's impossible. I would have a form of love, but I couldn't love her unless I love the Lord.
Yeah. Because, you know, some people have that conversation. I've heard people say, well, you know, teach me how to love you. What's your love language? What are the things that you like? And I remember talking to our daughter and future son-in-law at that time about that one time. And I said, so what's your love language? You know, we were laughing about it. And she said, all of them. And I didn't expect her to say that. She said, all of them are my love. Everyone, that's what I like. But you have to know what works. And I can't say that enough. But God knows. He already knows because he knows us individually. So then he's the one that has to bring it together as a couple. Yeah.
And it has to come through time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. And this is for both of you. What have you learned about yourself during this marriage?
What have you learned about ourselves during this marriage? I've learned that there's a person that God sent me, mm-hmm, who fulfilled my inadequacies.
Okay. So you acknowledge that you're not perfect.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
All right.
He fulfills my inadequacies. Where I'm weak at, there she is right there to take up that, to put me and complete me as her help me. That's where I look at. That's what I've learned.
Okay.
She's there. She's there. She's right there.
That's right. What about you, Monica? What have you learned about yourself during this marriage?
I've learned that I can be submissive. Okay. You know, we live in a different era. That's what we were just talking about, where women think that's old fashioned, you know, to do that. But I've learned that I can. And I've learned that that's when, you know, things are really, really good, really sweet. When you follow the plan that God already outlined, but we don't want to follow it because it's just contrary to what we're used to and what we know. But once you fall in line with what he has already said, you know, about that, then things are sweeter than you thought that they would be. So I've learned that I can be submissive because I've been, you know, I'm the oldest. So I'm the one that, you know, tell everybody what to do and, you know, that and that kind of thing. So I had to stop and pull back and go, wait a minute. And what is my husband saying? And what, you know, what is he saying for this household? And what are we doing, you know, according to his plan for us? And many times I've just had to say, okay, you know, I support him. Because that's, and see, I haven't done that. I've had to learn to do that. I support what he does, what he says, because I believe, because I know he's a man of God. And I know he hears from God, you know. And when I don't understand what he's doing, then I need God to show me. And he does, you know. But I'm not going to say it's just all spiritual. You know, it sounds like I'm saying that. But then we have to actually live this life. But God wants to live it with us. You know, he wants to help us through it.
Yeah.
But people just won't allow him. You know, we do. We allow him to.
In all facets. I don't do anything without confronting God.
Amen. Amen. Listen, guys, I really appreciate you taking time to just sit down and talk with me and share marriage, share your life together.
Thank you so much for
the invitation.
Man. Yeah,
it is going to help so many young couples, but some couples who've got some seasoned years about them. It's, you know, sometimes we can learn from other people and we don't
get
to the point to where, oh, well, I've been married longer than them. And that, no, you could, I think there are always learning opportunities and we just have to seize those opportunities. So
exactly right.
Thank you both for doing
that. Right. We appreciate it.
And so as we close out, is there any comments or statements that you would like to make before we close out?
I just thank for the opportunity for you inviting us so we can share some some of the things that we've done over these 44 plus years. I thank you for giving us this opportunity, and I hope that we've said some things that may help somebody, because this conversation alone has helped me.
Yeah, it has.
These things have helped. This segment has helped me.
Yeah, it's a good conversation. Yes, it is. And I think we have to, I think my statement would just simply be, make sure that you keep a balance in your relationship. You know, have fun, laugh sometimes, laugh together. We shared, I'm just going to say this and I'll be through. But we watched certain shows, like when the pandemic came in, we used to go to the movies. So the pandemic came in, we was like, we had to change some things up. So now we watch certain shows together.
You know,
I was trying to explain to another person I had on the phone one day. We were talking, and I said, "Well, I got to go." And they said, "Why has to go?" I said, "Well, this show's coming on." And they said, "Why?" I said, "Well, we always watch that one together, you know." And they didn't understand it. It was like, "Well, why do you watch it?" Because that's just what we do, and we haven't always done that. You know, you have to find what keeps your marriage together. And that, you know, we get them, you know, watch the show and talk back and forth. And he has taught me how to read it. Like I read a movie, you know, he's like, read the movie, like what's going to happen, predict, you know. And I'm like, I've never known to do that. He's taught me how to do it. Now when I do it, he's like, "Oh, I've taught you well.
And I think you've taught my listeners how to laugh with each other.
Oh man, that's something we do that all the time.
Because
the Bible says laughter is good medicine. Good.
Like a medicine, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you again. Listen,
thank you so much.
I can do for you, just let me know. And as always, in closing, please remember, it takes two to make a relationship work.
Thank you for listening to the Relationship Therapy Podcast with Tony Miller Sr. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. Tune in next time for more insight on how to make your relationship better. If you have any questions, please email us at tmrelationshiptherapy@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, remember, it takes two to make the relationship work.